a new world order.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
A new world order.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
In a land of injustice and tyranny, the story is told of a writer proclaiming freedom and the principles of liberty of those who came before him, carrying a torch that burns like the human spirit. He rides only at night. Out of the mist comes the Midnight Rider.
Live from the middle of America, in the middle of the freaking night. Welcome aboard. This is the Midnight Rider here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. My name is Mike Chambers. It is the Friday night edition of the program, the 7th of October, 2007. I'm glad you're with us tonight. We're going to have a great program. And I've been thinking about doing this show all day long. Dr. Nick Begich is going to join us tonight. And I originally heard Nick Begich years ago, late at night, with Art Bell on Coast to Coast, talking about HAARP. And I remember him when he was on RBN, had his Saturday night show here, and I always enjoyed listening to it. And it is just a treat to have Nick on tonight, and we'll be talking with him in just a couple of minutes. Chat rooms are open. We got good crowds in both of them. Republicbroadcasting.org is the first chat room. Just click the chat link there. And then the other one is the Midnight Rider Show chat room at midnightridershow.com. And just click on the chat link there as well. And boom, you can, man, you can go into both rooms if you want. Some people do that and chat at both locations. So you can do that. We will take calls for Dr. Begich starting at the top of the next hour as we go along. So be thinking about your questions because we're going to hit a number of subjects tonight. I'm sure we'll talk about HAARP. We're going to get into mind control and where that leads, because that leads in so many different directions. We'll talk about that as well. So have your questions waiting for Dr. Nick Begich at the top of the hour, and that's going to be good. I enjoyed today being on the National Intel Report in place of John Stadman. I've had talked about Pearl Harbor 66 years ago today. That date that will live in infamy, according to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, occurred. And it was odd. Not a lot of remembrances. The local news here had news about Pearl Harbor because they opened up a new memorial for the USS Oklahoma. There's always been an Arizona memorial there, but not one for the Oklahoma. The Oklahoma was in port at Pearl Harbor, and it overturned. They heard guys tapping inside of that ship for days, and they weren't able to get to them. And eventually, they died, you know, either by drowning or by lack of air. So it's been a long time coming for a memorial for them, and it's one's been up and it's erected and opened up today. As a matter of fact, 66 years afterwards. So, but not a lot of coverage. I guess the further we get away, the less we'll hear about it. And more and more of those veterans are dying off. But we shouldn't forget what happened that day. Why it happened. All right. Going to come back in just a minute. Dr. Nick Begich on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Midnight Rider.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Here on the Friday night edition of the Midnight Rider on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I am just so excited to have tonight's guest on, Dr. Nick Begich. He's the eldest son of the late United States Congressman from Alaska, Nick Begich Sr., and political activist Peggy Begich. He's well known in Alaska for his own political activities. He's twice elected president of both the Alaska Federation of Teachers and the Anchorage Council of Education. He's been pursuing independent research in the sciences and politics for most of his adult life. Begich received his doctorate in traditional medicine from the Open International University for Complementary Medicines in November of 94. He's co-authored with Gene Manning the book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, Advances in Tesla Technology. Begich has also authored Earth Rising, The Revolution Toward a Thousand Years of Peace, and his latest book, Earth Rising 2, The Betrayal of Science, Society, and the Soul, both of those with the late James Roderick. He's also the editor of Earth Pulse Flashpoints, a new science book series. And Begich has published articles in science, politics, and education, as well as a lecturer, having presented throughout the United States and in 19 countries. He's been featured as a guest on thousands of radio broadcasts, reporting on his research activities, including new technologies, health, and earth science-related issues. He's also appeared on dozens of television documentaries and other programs throughout the world, including the BBC, CBC, Telemundo, and others. He's also been an expert witness before parliamentarian, and his biography goes on and on and on. Nick Begich, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you, Mike. It's always good to be on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and it's been a little while since I've been on with any of you guys.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice back on here again. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. You know, we finally are, it looks like we might even get some snow. You know, we had the weirdest weather again this year. We're up in the upper 30s today, just north of Anchorage, Alaska, so it's a meltdown and maybe snow later tonight, they say.
Well, in Alaska, that's shorts and T-shirt weather.
Yeah, it is. You know, it varies a lot across the state. You know, I've got to say, in other parts of the state, we're well below zero. But Anchorage has been getting warmer and warmer over the years, and we're certainly seeing the difference here these days.
What do you attribute that to up there? Do you think this is part of the global warming they're talking about, or is this due to the fact that the sun's heating up?
I think it's the sun, actually. And we've been saying for quite some time, solar activity and other activity that's normal, natural events are probably affecting climate change more than anything else. You know, CO2, as man creates CO2, is very small, less than 1% of what nature does. A lot can be said for the sun right now. The other planets have been noted to be heating as well. Increased volcanism in the oceans heats the oceans much more rapidly than solar energy does, and we're seeing a little bit more of that as well. So I think there's more to be said for that story, and hopefully one of these days we'll get a little bit better picture of the climate change model. I think BBC has done the best on it recently with a expose suggesting that perhaps it's not man that's at fault after all.
Yeah, I mean, because so many things are happening in the solar system. You've got Pluto now with an atmosphere,
right?
And NASA's rushing the New Horizons out there to get it to get a look at it before things change and Pluto no longer has the atmosphere.
Well,
so many things are changing.
You know, when you think about it, the fact that we're seeing heating on the other planets, that tells us that it's not unique to man. The fact that hydrocarbons, the stuff of oil and gas, exist on other planets, maybe it's not fossil fuel after all. You know, there's a lot of things going on right now in this whole area of energy as it relates to climate change, and I think maybe it has a lot more to do with economics than perhaps it does have to do with the environment these days. But again, you know, time will tell. I'm on the side of nature on this one. I think nature has a lot more to do with it, although man, as we'll probably get in tonight, has the ability to do some pretty unique things with weather these days, something we probably couldn't have done 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, indeed. Now, up in your area, is your growing season starting to lengthen at all, or does it seem to cut off at the same point?
Oh, no, we've got a couple weeks extra. You know, and we have the long daylight in the summer. Of course, we're on the short time of the year this time. We're down to a little over 5 hours of daylight in my part of the state. But it does have a significant impact on growing. In fact, I grow apples in my yard, something I couldn't do as a young kid in this part of the world, but
wow,
that we can do now. So that is a significant change.
No kidding. Apples in Alaska. That's very cool.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, you don't think about it. You know, we don't have a lot of the pests and natural pests for these kinds of species, so they do really quite well. They're not quite as big as some of the stateside apples, but, you know, for a short season, not too bad, and getting better all the time.
How do people deal psychologically with the lack of daylight there during the long winter?
I'll tell you, it does affect you. As you get older, it affects you even more significantly. Personally, what I have done is I use a dry wood-fired sauna. I use an ionizer in my office, which actually is pretty helpful. Vitamin D supplements isn't bad. A vitamin B complex isn't bad either. Some people use the full-spectrum lights, which can be extraordinarily helpful, although I don't like the 60 hertz cycle on those lights. So I try to do it with other technologies, and it seems to do me pretty well this winter.
Yeah, that's a nasty little hum, and you know, it's amazing when the lights go out, when the power goes out for some reason, and the computer shut down, the refrigerator shuts down, and everything that runs on that 60 hertz, it's amazing the stress relief that instantly occurs.
Yeah, and in fact, we talk about this a lot and have for over 10 years in our lectures. During that power failure, it's almost like the whole body exhales. It's like all of the energy surrounding you, once it's cut off, you no longer have to maintain an equilibrium or compensate for it with the body. So you finally, for the first time perhaps in a long time, actually relax. In fact, it's the same feeling you get when you leave huge urban centers like New York or L.A. and get out into the country. You'll notice the same kind of decompression, this relaxation that occurs when you're out of that 60-cycle stress box that we don't even notice anymore. I mean, we're so submersed in it, we don't even hear the sound of that explosion, if you will.
Yeah, because years ago, you could always hear the hum.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And, you know, the other thing about it is when you think about it, you know, I measure ambient background radiation when I travel, and I use a couple different tools for that. And what I notice, and it's clear, is that in urban areas, you see, because of wireless communications, even more stressors being added into the situation. Radio frequency energy alone, in the last 100 years, man has surrounded ourselves with 200 million times more than nature normally creates. And now, with the way the wireless world is headed, that is increasing geometrically at this point in our history.
What do you think will be the result of that on the human being, both physiologically and psychologically, in the near future? Because we're going more and more wireless with everything.
Well, I think we're already starting to see it. I mean, when we look at stress levels as they're measured in industrialized societies, either in through psychology or through physiology, through our health, you see all kinds of implications of stress-related disorders, either direct stress disorders or those that are related to them. When you get into more and more urbanized environments where more of technology will surround us, I think we're going to see an increase in cancers. We're going to see an increase in stress-related disorders. And you know what, right now we have, I think it's over half, it was the last stat I read, was a little over 50% of the adult population in the United States is on some medication generally related to either heart or stress-related disorders. And that's pretty amazing when you start to think about it. And of course, diet feeds into that. The type of lifestyles we live become much more sedentary in this 21st century. And, of course, that leads to other things, obesity, diabetes, other illnesses. None of those things, I would suggest, decrease stress. But when you add it all up, a very different a society we live in today, and the wireless component of this is something that is just now really starting to gain more currency in the mainstream, although for over 30 years there's been lots of discussion about how these electromagnetic fields affect our health.
Yeah, and especially like down at 60 hertz, I mean, you're getting down to the bottom of the range there.
Right.
And the human body, what it resonates, what, like about 30 hertz?
Well, it generally, you know, the human body will create, in terms of the mind at least, a frequency following response. This is where the brain will actually lock on to external signals, generally below 100 hertz. This is in the ELF range, extremely low frequency range. And these tend to be the ones that show themselves as biologically active. And now, without getting into the very long wavelengths, you can also create interactions through pulsing higher frequency signals, which is some of the things that have been done. But what is showing consistently in the literature is this pulsed energy with a little bit of a punch behind it that seems to have the greatest biological effect in the ELF range, extremely low frequency range, below that 100 cycles or 100 pulses per second.
Yeah, and so much of this revolves, it seems to revolve around the work and research of Dr. Nikola Tesla.
Right.
Because he was huge about resonance and what that would do. I mean, I recall a story where he'd taken a little a pocket vibrating type device, stuck it to a beam on a building that was being constructed in New York, and over time the building began to shake.
Right.
And people thought there was an earthquake, and he quickly made his way out of there before he was caught.
Right.
But resonance has a huge effect on physical beings.
Right. Resonance.
And bodies.
Resonance is, when you look at Tesla, everything he did was about oscillating fields and ultimately about resonance. I had one of my mentors in electrophysiology, Rejo Michaela, used to always say it's all about resonance. He said it with a little thicker accent than me. He was a Finnish gentleman, but a brilliant, brilliant guy. And Tesla, I have all of his published papers, all of his lectures, all of his patents, and that is what he was all about. And I hear the music coming, so I know I got to hold up till after your break.
Yeah, we'll come right back here in just a couple of minutes. We're talking with Dr. Nick Begich. His website, earthpulse.com. If you'd like to take a visit, there are a lot of cool articles and information on his website. That's earthpulse.com. Back in just a minute. This is the Midnight Rider here on RBN.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Talk of the flag. I talk of revolution. You'd much rather brag. And if the decibels of this disenchanting discourse continue to dampen the day, the conference again and again and again and again. As our sanity walks away, all this discussion, the politically correct.
Back here on the Midnight Rider on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Glad you're with us tonight on the Friday night edition of the program. Dr. Nick Begich is our guest. And since we're talking about low frequencies, the 60 hertz range, let's drop a little lower and talk about HARP a little bit. For people kind of new to this, Nick, explain a little bit what HARP is and what it's designed to do.
Sure. HARP is the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project, and it has a number of applications. It was originally set up by the Air Force and Navy here in Alaska. It's now run by DARPA, which handles most of the classified research for the military. And essentially, it is an array or a field of antenna. It's 180 in the array today. Each of these is about 72 feet tall. These produce radio frequency energy in the microwave range, which is a much shorter wavelength than an ELF. However, with HARP, you can stimulate what is called 16 decades of radio frequency. This is from ultra-low, below one pulse per second, all the way up to visible light, which covers a huge, huge band of spectrum. Now, you can do this directly with the device or indirectly through secondary effects created with the instrument, which makes it quite unique. It actually focuses or concentrates radio frequency energy into a relatively small area, and then manipulates that energy for a number of specific weapons uses by our military. And those include a number of things that have been demonstrated experimentally over about the last 12, 13 years.
Now you said decades. Is that similar to harmonics?
Well, it is in one sense. When you're talking about decades, if you were talking about a specific frequency within those decades, the decades are covering the ranges. And so you have a range from ultra-low to visible light, which includes radio signals like what we're hearing, microwave, just a whole array of various pulsations, energy forms, and frequencies. And when you look at that amount of spectrum, whether it's the extremely low end or the ELF end, which is where we get into the biological effects,
right,
or the visible spectrum where you can actually see the effects, it's quite the range. And that's what makes it unique as an instrument. Now, from a military perspective, there are several things that come into play. Now, these instruments have been around literally for tens of years. They've been around since the early 1970s. In fact, back in those days, there was quite a controversy from the old Soviet transmitters, which created what was called in those days the woodpecker signal, which was kind of a pecking noise that people picked up on ham radios around the world, and they triangulated them back to these old transmitters in the former Soviet Union.
Yeah, and they were involved in it long before we were.
Absolutely. Now, the old ones, the old systems that the Soviets had, these were had to be reset. It took about 15 minutes to reset them. They were nowhere near the power or the design of HARP. HARP is, when it produces at full power, it'll produce an effective radiated power of up to 1 billion watts, which is just a phenomenal amount of energy. Now, that's the effective radiated power. That's not the amount of energy going in, so you're not looking for a billion-watt generator somewhere
right
up here in Alaska. But it's the way in which they measure through effective radiated power. Now, what happens with this device is you can literally heat the ionosphere, which is a layer that begins about 30 miles above the Earth's surface, and this layer extends several hundred miles out and is a big, thick, energetic layer around the Earth that protects the Earth from various particle streams coming in from the sun and from space. That would, without that layer, life would be virtually impossible on this planet. Not all the planets have anything like this. This is quite unique to the Earth in terms of what it does in sustaining life here. The ionosphere is also responsible in large part for the quality and character of communications. When the sun gets disturbed with solar activity, the ionosphere gets disturbed, which then affects communications. In fact, it can even affect power grids across the planet, right, when the sun acts up.
So what would be the purpose in heating the ionosphere? I mean, why would somebody want to heat the ionosphere up?
Well, one of the ideas that was put forward years ago was an anti-satellite technology, and this is kind of how it would work. Above the device, you get about a 30-mile diameter hole that can be created when you fire the device or ignite the transmitters in a specific way. What then happens is the atmosphere rushes in to fill that hole, and you could visualize it as a 30-mile diameter hole that would look like a column because it would push out through the ionosphere a couple hundred kilometers out into space. Lower atmosphere would rush in and fill that void, and then say a satellite ran into that atmosphere. Well, that would be the end of it. It would be down, and plausible deniability would be the result.
Oops, we messed up. I'm sorry. Back in just a minute with more. We'll take your calls at the top of the hour. We're talking with Dr. Nick Begich. Opinion on HARP. We're going to get into mind control here in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
On the Midnight Rider on Republic Broadcasting Network. It's also being simulcast on the TruthNet radio network, as it is every night on KU Satellite, sitting there high above the sky, 22,500 miles above the surface of the Earth, in geosynchronous orbit, beaming down the message of truth, liberty, and freedom, and also to everybody out there on low-power FMs across the country, and that number is growing day by day. And to all you operators of these low-power FM stations, thank you very much for making our job of spreading this information so much easier. We're talking tonight with Dr. Nick Begich. His website is earthpulse.com, earthpulse.com. And, Nick, so much, you know, when you talk about HAARP and you talk a lot of other things, I always hearken back to Tesla and his desire to create global energy and also essentially his deflector shield.
Right.
Idea that he had for the war. Are his ideas what spurred a lot of these HAARP ideas and things like that?
Absolutely was. In fact, you see Tesla referenced in some of the original patents by Dr. Ben Eastland. And it was Tesla was the creative impetus, if you will. There was just a spark of genius there. I think that the system that eventually became HAARP was a bit different, but the concepts underlying it, the same ideas, the same kind of motivations. In fact, a global shield was one of the things that Dr. Eastland believed you could accomplish with HARP by accelerating electrons in the electrojet. What you could essentially do is you could also create a shield around the Earth, an energized shield using the ionosphere and using HARP to stimulate effects within the magnetic field lines of the Earth that would cause any intercontinental ballistic missile or any electronics bearing object to go through that field would have been disrupted to the point where the avionics, the things that control the flight paths, would fail. This was one of the big ideas that Ben had, and in fact, one of the leading ideas that got the military initially interested, because it, you know, the story is, and I think we've all seen it now on the national news, these interceptor systems are flat not going to work in stopping a serious nuclear attack on the United States, and so other systems needed to be developed, and this was one of those. That was funded early on and has gained quite a bit of funding over the years.
You know, oddly enough, they did a test the other day, Nick. An F-16 with some modified missiles destroyed a test rocket during its boost phase. I'd never seen it happen before, but they had used two missiles. One was to video the event, and the second was to actually destroy it, and it was able to acquire its target. On everything, it's the first time that had ever been done. Now, how they're going to be able to do that, say, you know, if there was a mass launch of nuclear weapons, I don't think you could put enough planes in the air to knock them all down.
Well, this is the problem. And when they think of nuclear attack, they always paint the scenario of tens of thousands of incoming objects, of which only a few carry nuclear payloads. So you need to isolate which ones are the real threats, first of all. And that is actually something HARP can do. You know, when you energize an area, and then these objects come through, even if they're not, isn't enough energy to knock out their electronics, there is enough to create some unique interactions that with gamma ray detectors and mounted on satellites, you could actually detect which of those objects had nuclear payloads versus the decoys. And then once knowing that, you could then put your resources really where the most damage otherwise will be done. And even at that, targeting with air-to-ground or air-to-air or ground-to-air missiles to attack these things when they're traveling at these velocities is not a very practical matter. And most of the tests have failed in this regard, although a few of them have managed to show some possibilities. The thing that shows up in the literature beyond even HARP are other systems that are speed of light weapons that use particle beams, lasers, even one controlled by the Department of Energy that's designed to shoot what would look like a ball of lightning rather than a bolt of lightning. The thing about these missile intercepting systems, they would travel at the speed of light, 186,300 miles per second versus 30,000 miles an hour for an intercontinental ballistic missile being intercepted by another intercontinental ballistic missile or something of the like. So when you think about these systems, although they're demonstrating some missile capabilities, ultimately it will be about energy-based technologies when we come to missile defense.
Yeah, because, I mean, you put a laser that can fire at the speed of light. I mean, you've essentially rendered those platforms useless. One aspect of HARP that you know a lot of people talk about is weather modification.
Right.
You know, and like in 2005 with Hurricane Katrina, a number of people believe that storm was tinkered with. What are your thoughts about HARP as a weather modification tool, and do you think it was used to modify Hurricane Katrina in 2005?
You know, in terms of Katrina, I don't think so. Although, you know, I mean, we don't see all of the data, but as a weather modification instrument, absolutely could be used. In fact, Dr. Eason, when he originally designed it, that was built into some of the patents. Now, since that time, he has done additional work for the European Space Agency. He did some work for FEMA and for NASA, and then he did some independent work on weather modification that was presented in 2005 at the University of Pennsylvania. In that presentation, he believes and made the point that you could probably modify weather with 1,600 times less energy than he originally thought was needed when he designed HARP by manipulating gravitational waves. So, that's something that has not been tried, as far as we know, although theoretically is possible with HARP. So, when we say, could it do these things, the answer is yes, it could. Has it? There's no real independent monitoring to say, definitively yes, but these are some of the capabilities. Now, when you look at a hurricane as an example, you're talking about heating within the oceans, adding a lot of energy usually to these storms. That's something quite different. I think what we should look to in the oceans right now, particularly right now, is undersea volcanics that are contributing, I believe, to the formation of these storm fronts and to a great deal of the climatic changes that we're seeing on the planet right now. But HARP, absolutely. One of the ways that we were talking just before the last break about heating the ionosphere to push atmosphere out, not just for an NI satellite technology, but when you move that atmosphere out of where it's supposed to be, what happens is it changes localized pressure systems and can also change the direction and flow of a jet stream, which would have a significant impact on downstream weather.
Yeah, most certainly it would. You had mentioned gravitation waves. The research, or at least public research and knowledge of anti-gravity research and gravitational research, has pretty much dropped off the map since the late 50s. Is there any current research on gravitation?
I think there is. I mean, T. Townsend Brown was doing quite a bit in that area back a number of years ago, of course. But that area continues to pop up as an area of interest by military planners. You see it usually mixed in with discussions of zero-point energy or energy out of the vacuum. In fact, NASA in 2000 announced their program researching that particular area. I don't think there's something for nothing there, and I think physics is going to show that there are sources of energy and ways to manipulate energy that allow for an anti-gravity effect in a much different way than those being experimented with today, at least in the open literature. I think we're going to see more in this area. This is one of the things that even shows up in some of the old Tesla concepts. He believed that you could create anti-gravity effects and was involved in some experiments in that area as well. So who knows? I mean, I personally believe we probably already got that technology. It's just a matter of when the public will be eventually clued in.
Well, I mean, if that technology was available, imagine how much easier we could get into space, how much more environmentally friendly a rocket launch would be, because you're not going to have to use as much fuel for a payload. Because I noticed in one of the articles on your site I was reading, the huge amount of chlorine and hydrochloric acid that gets deposited in the atmosphere every time the shuttle goes off.
Right. And these are things that people really don't consider very much in terms of what else affects atmospheric conditions. But energy as a concept, I mean, if you think about it, in terms of its effect on global economies and what really drives so much of the enterprise in terms of what we do and what we don't do on this planet, has perhaps more to do with corporate interests than it does with practical solutions to otherwise complicated problems. I think that we have the technology that, if it were more rightly applied and a little less influenced by those that have a whole lot to gain and a whole lot to lose, I think we would all be better off on this planet. In fact, I think we need incentives, rewards for stimulating those kinds of technologies, and I think we need penalties, criminal penalties, for those that withhold technology that could change the face of humanity on this planet, even if it is our own militaries.
Why do we spend so little time looking at impact? I mean, you've got this huge array up there, like with HARP, medicines that are put on the market that 5 years later they'll come back and say, oh, sorry, this is going to cause cancer, or this is good for you, this is bad for you. Why don't we spend more time testing impact?
Well, we sort of go with the idea in the U.S. that we have to have a definitive body of science. We stop before that. In Europe, they use a different principle in health and environmental sciences, actually. In the health areas, they always have applied in the last 30, 40 years what's called the precautionary principle, which means that when science starts to show that there's some things to be concerned about, the public is notified under this principle and given the opportunity to sort of decide with their dollars whether they, vote in a technology or at least recognize the risks associated with it. In the 30 to 40 years the Europeans have applied the precautionary principle in health and environmental issues, they have never once been wrong. And I think it's a lesson that we could probably better use here. And at the same time, they don't unduly slow progress in terms of advances in medical science. A good example, artificial discs for the back were pioneered in Germany in the early 1980s. Last year, they were finally allowed in the by the FDA to be used in the U.S. Instead of rods and fusing of vertebrae, a standard procedure that is considered by Europeans for over 25 years is a little bit barbaric in terms of its outcomes. But, you know, it's not unusual. In some areas, we are very restrictive. It's almost like we protect old technology, and maybe that's what we're doing. And in other areas, we get way too aggressive. And when you look at those, if you always look at those and you say, who's gaining by this, generally it's the same players. In the case of pharmaceuticals, the rush to judgment on those is an industry that certainly benefits by it. A lot of attention has been drawn to that in recent years. There was a book published in the late 90s called Dirty Medicine, which lays a great foundation for what happens in that area. Then you have other areas, devices, TENS devices for neutralizing pain, biofeedback devices for reducing stress. Other technologies are coming. Some are making it through. Others are being unduly delayed. Maybe they'll never see the light of day. But I think a lot of special interests do regulate a lot of what eventually becomes of what's considered acceptable science.
You know, and I think you're right about the protecting of old technology and old methods of doing things. I mean, if you sit and look at our infrastructure, the way we get our power, essentially it's Tesla technology. It's, what, 130 years old?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We heat our homes exactly the same with the automobile. Other than a few improvements in not in any mileage, but improvements of how the engine fires and is actually controlled, it's still essentially the same internal combustion engine that was created at the turn of the century.
That's right. And yet there's a lot of small innovations, and we hear about these every once in a while, and often they're snuffed out. They never make it to the market. Little simple things, you know, certain kinds of carburetors that allow you to atomize the fuels a little more efficiently so you get a cleaner burn for less fuel consumption. Things like this that are pretty straightforward, you know, tend to get axed out. We're hearing a lot about other energy economies now, but they're all really driven by the same model of central distribution. I think the real breakthroughs are going to come in independent energy sources, those that allow us to individually, as sovereign individuals, become energy independent. That's what's going to make the real changes in this century, I believe, is going to be ultimately that kind of energy independence.
What type of energy technologies do you see coming? I know solar technology, the cells are getting better. They're becoming more efficient, right. And the windmills are getting better.
Right. Already those are economic. I mean, in many, many parts of the world, especially now with fuel as high as it is. But, you know, when you think of hydrogen as an example, you know, they're thinking about generating it from all the same old systems. And the reality is we can probably create hydrogen utilizing other kinds of resonant technologies. In fact, on the website, we posted some film of a gentleman using radio frequency energy to stimulate salt water to break the bonds of the hydrogen and oxygen so that he could get a good, clean hydrogen burn, generating 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit or about 1,500 degrees centigrade temperatures with salt water and radio frequency energy. Now, that's not over unity. That's just using, again, a basic Tesla principle of resonance and applying it to water molecules to break those bonds and create that effect. You can also stimulate using ultrasonic water molecules to get them to electrolyze and break apart much more efficiently. And you can also use mineral catalysts that are recyclable, like sodium borohydrate and others, that could be used for creating hydrogen, essentially on board with just filtered water being the necessary ingredient. That's the kind of independence I think we ought to be striving for, and that we ought to be at least providing the incentives for. Already at $3 a gallon gasoline, GE demonstrated a hydrogen cell that would be economically comparable to that in terms of producing equal amounts of energy. But I think we've got a long way to go, and we can do that and reduce energy costs rather than see them continue to inflate. And that's where the excitement, at least from my perspective, is.
If we adopt, say, a hydrogen technology and where basically the exhaust is water vapor, what in your mind would that do to the atmosphere itself and the world that we live in? How would that change that? I know from an energy standpoint we'd be burning cleaner. With all that extra water vapor, what do you think that would do to the atmosphere here?
Well, I mean, it depends on how you handle it. I mean, you can obviously, you know, run it not into vapor. You can run it all the way back into water itself and use it again. You know, so, I mean, I think you can... You can deal with those kinds of problems pretty readily. The thing about energy and energy independence, what it offers is then if you have energy capacity and the cost goes down, then it affects everything. I mean, think about food inflation, which we haven't really seen the full impact of yet. We'll see it probably in about a year from now for what we've been experiencing over the last year. But that, you know, that is a major deal, because you think about refrigeration, you think about transportation, you think about the growing technologies themselves. If you have control of energy at a very low cost, then greenhouse production becomes very possible in lots of places in the world weather-wise. For instance, in my part of the world where our produce has to be literally flown in, Alaska produces enough geothermal to be a net exporter of produce if it were greenhouse produced.
Oh, that's very interesting. Back in just a minute with more. We're talking with Dr. Nick Begich. If you want to talk to Dr. Nick, the number is 800-313-9443. Maybe you shouldn't call him Dr. Nick. You might be associated with Elvis, but we better not do that. Back in a minute with more. This is the Midnight Rider right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back in just a second.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Tonight with Dr. Nick Begich, Got a fascinating conversation going on. If you'd like to join us here at the top of the hour, the number is 800-313-9443, and we're not even getting into the good stuff yet. You had mentioned geothermal going as we were going to the break, and I think, Nick, that's an area that we've not considered, and that's the Earth itself as a power source. I remember reading here, I guess it was about a year or two ago, where back in the 1800s when the telegraph was in vogue as a method of communication, they were going to change batteries at these individual telegraph stations, and they found these batteries would be all corroded and the cells were dry, but yet the telegraph began to function. And when they would even disconnect them and then reconnect them to these old batteries, the circuit would complete and it would spark. And they discovered that the Earth itself, throughout this whole telegraph system, had become its own battery.
Well, it's interesting. The Earth, does create some power differentials. Elevations, as an example, from one elevation, say 3,000 feet above sea level to sea level, you'll get some energy potential just in that. When you think about geothermal energy, which is a little bit different, you're talking about heat energy, and underneath the surface of the Earth, just even a few yards down, the temperature stabilizes and is pretty consistent. Heat pumps are old technology, but geothermal, where there's heat sources that otherwise could generate steam, where you could actually move turbines and create electrical energy directly, that's something that's been well developed in places like Iceland, where they run their entire electrical system on geothermal, and the excess geothermal energy that produces electricity in the evening is then used for producing hydrogen to run their mass transit system on. But it's all done from the heat pump, literally, of the Earth. Now, here in Alaska, we have 2,000 miles of volcanic islands that are any number of which are active at any given time. It's called the Aleutian Chain. We have a number of other volcanoes throughout Alaska, and also all across the western states there are geothermal areas where you could in fact tap these energy sources. And we've done very little of this in the United States, and yet we have geothermal sources literally scattered around the country. I looked at a map of Alaska recently that showed various kinds of energy sources, from biomass to geothermal to wind to solar to oil and gas and coal resources, as an example. And it's pretty amazing. And when you look at the whole United States on that level, geothermal, solar, wind, all of those are well-known technologies that could be applied right now. In fact, I would suggest that the couple of $1 trillion that we're spending in the Middle East right now on securing a energy resource, we could have had a totally independent, self-sustaining resource with that kind of money that's being spent there. And, you know, these should be national emergencies. I mean, we think of energy and how it affects every one of us. Most of us going into this holiday season, I know energy has had a huge impact on people's budgets, whether it's our automobile, our electricity in our homes, the gas and the fuels we use to heat our homes. These are big issues, and yet we don't see any of the attention compared to what we saw in the early 70s during the first oil embargo.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, you know, because it's a matter of national security. But the thing that makes this almost oxymoronic in a way, Nick, is the fact that we have to go somewhere else and be dependent on somebody else's oil to secure that security.
It's dangerous. It's a dangerous place to be, and it's not the place we want to be in the 21st century.
Yeah, it most certainly is. And I haven't got a message pop up, and I'll ask that question when we come back from the break. Quick 60-second break. We'll be back on the other side talking with Dr. Nick Begich, 800-313-9443. The number if you'd like to join us. Back around the corner with more.